on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Friday, January 16th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk, and it was quite the day in markets. A lot happened. There's a lot going on with the Fed. A lot of news around who the next Fed chair might be. Is that going to be good or bad for markets? We'll look at that. We also have some economic news around industrial production and housing market index. So we'll discuss that a little bit as well. But most importantly, it'll be about you. What's on your mind? What do you think about the new Fed chair? Do you think this is good for the markets or bad? We'd love to hear about that. I'd love to hear what you think about the economy. What sectors are you looking at? What questions do you have about them? We're here for all of it. We're here to help you become a better investor, mainly by answering your finance and investment questions. So with that said, let's get to it. As usual, we'll tackle our first caller question now, right? And then after, we will go over the market performance and run down the show topic. So let's tackle that caller question.
This is James from Georgia. I was calling about Skyworks. That's ticker SWKS. It's been down, so I'm curious, do I need to get out of this? Should I maybe buy some more? I'm curious your analysis. If you could please advise, I'll listen on the show. Thanks.
All right, looking at Skyworks Solutions, SWKS is the symbol, about 5% dividend yield. A lot of people might get excited about that. However, as I always say, it's about the business trends, business prospects. And this is a name whose earnings have fallen pretty considerably. $11.24 in 2022. And this year, it's supposed to earn only $4.40, down 26%. And the relative strength is 13. So it's in a clear downtrend. It's a name that we used to own for clients, but we moved on a while ago. Part of it was business deteriorating. Part of it was the price deteriorating. And since then, both have continued to do so. And so that's why you have to listen to the signals and not be stuck in names that are just languishing or in a downtrend. And this is exactly it. So I would just move on. Frankly, I think they could turn it around, but ultimately the profitability is meager. Cash flow has dropped considerably from a high of $1.6 billion to about $1 billion right now. Still a pretty good free cash flow yield, but once again, if earnings are expected to drop 26%, what's going to happen to that cash flow? It's probably going to do something very similar. So I would move on from Skyworks. SWKS is the symbol. Now we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we will get to all of it. And our main focus point is about the cyber super cycle. Cybersecurity stocks, the new utilities of the 21st century. Geopolitical tensions are obviously rising. You have digital warfare. We'll discuss why cybersecurity stocks are becoming utilities, like I said, of 2026 and beyond. We'll dig into that topic. Also, a new warning from PIMCO about President Trump's unpredictable policies and prompting bond giant PIMCO to diversify away from U.S. assets. Is this going to be a trend as we move through 2026? We'll dig into that. Also, tech giants are getting more hands-on with energy, and we'll talk about some of those new deals struck by companies like Alphabet. And then lastly, if we have time, Amazon is buying America's first new copper output from Arizona. So we'll dig into that topic, pun intended, dig in, get it. So that's what's on the top on the docket for me today. But most importantly, it'll be you. Like I said, whatever is on your mind, give us a call. It could be a comment as well. It doesn't have to just be a question. So we have voice bank calls. One is on call option ETFs. I love this one because they're so popular. And then ATI Incorporated, symbol ATI. And of course, we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the InvestDoc YouTube channel as well. And most importantly, will be your live call. So if you call, you will get put in front of the line. So don't hesitate to call with anything money related on your mind. We are here for it. But we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestDoc Voice Bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I'll be talking about today's market activity in the next segment.
It's a new year, and you may have decided that it's time to get serious with your investment portfolio. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero of KPP Financial are ready to help. Have you heard about parallel investing? That's where the firm's principals invest their own money in the exact same investment programs at the same price and percentages as their clients. Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients, as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART. Now, with 62 million downloads, InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the market today. Overall, it was a modest down day. NASDAQ down 6 basis points. S&P also down 6 basis points. Dow down 17 basis points. So very minor red day overall. And it was option X day. So a lot of just kind of jockeying for position. I think you'll see a lot of more movement next week. And then after that, you get into the Fed meeting as well the following week. So and next week, earnings kick into high gear. So that will be top of mind, I think, for markets as a whole. But certainly a mixed bag today. You had names like Broadcom and Microsoft eking out a bit of a gain. Names like Tesla, Meta, Nvidia were roughly flat. But you had some losses over in the healthcare space. So names like Merck were down nearly 2%. You had Boston Scientific down over 2%, Medtronics, et cetera. You had some strength out of some of the smaller tech names. So Micron was up 7.7% on the day, but weakness in some others. Palantir down 3.5% on the day. Salesforce down 2.75, App 11 down 6% on the day. So some of the riskier tech names certainly were struggling overall. UPS and some of the transportation stocks, more cyclical stocks, certainly were a bit weaker. And I think this had to do with rates being higher. And the real news, they said at the top of the show, was what looks to be a shift in betting odds around Fed Governor Kevin Warsh is now the leader, 58% chance on Kalshi of becoming the next Fed nominee. There's reports that President Trump does not want the NEC director, Kevin Hassett, to head the Fed because he wants to stay in his cabinet. So it looks like Warsh is now ahead, and that would mean probably a bit more hawkish Fed, somebody that maybe isn't quite as loyal to the president, that would kind of do his bidding, etc. But it would also be able to potentially get him through confirmation easier as well. Overall, the dollar was a bit stronger. The two-year yield rose 4 basis points, reflecting, hey, maybe the odds of a really dovish Fed throughout the rest of the year are a bit lower. So you definitely saw bonds fall a little bit and rates rise. The gold finished down 0.6%. Silver ended off 4.1%. So pretty big pullback in silver. Silver and gold been pretty overbought. You've seen a lot of sentiment that I think tells you needs a bit of cooling off. I've seen a lot of headlines around gold and silver, and usually that signals at least a short-term, at least consolidation phase or pullback would not shock me at all, especially if you are going to get a more hawkish Fed based on economic data, based on odds of a different Fed chair as we head into the spring. Bitcoin down 0.1% and WTI down 0.4%. So really not a whole lot of movement on the day, kind of choppy, but the real big news is around that odds of a Fed chair and a more hawkish Fed going forward. Now let's briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which will be distributed tomorrow this week. In the KPP Insights section, we discuss the commodity cycle. Very important in today's world. Stock ideas section, we mentioned international retail pawn shop and a communications service company. In the portfolio management section, we touch on why we don't need to own everything that goes up. Now, if you're interested in learning more, visit us at investtalk.com and subscribe. Newsletter will come to your inbox on Saturday mornings. Let's keep things moving and dip back into the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier.
I had a quick question for you. Call options. I was just wondering if you could kind of explain in simple terms what call options are. On the surface, I understand that they're by themselves, they're decently risky. I want to know what your thoughts are on call options ETFs and obviously their income producing. Also, you know, tax-wise, I just want to know if utilize them or recommend options ETFs. I look forward to hearing from you on the radio. Thanks.
So I'll start with the last part and then I'll go to the first question. So simply put, these covered call ETFs, which it's a rash of them have been issued. And I think it's malpractice for the SEC to allow them to advertise huge yields because the reality is not the case in any way, shape, or form. So on all of these, you need to completely ignore the quote unquote yield on it because it's not really what it is. Okay. They're selling call options. It's a covered call strategy, which in and of itself, I don't mind. What I do mind is it is people advertising that there's this huge yield that comes out of them. That's not really the case here. Okay. So I don't recommend them for most people unless it really fits them. And it's all about the underlying position that you're holding, okay, for the most part. So don't get duped by them. Look at total return. Don't look at yield, number one. Now, what is a call? What is a call option? It is a derivative. By definition, a derivative is anything whose price is derived from some other instrument. In this case, it's an underlying stock, okay? And a call is simply the option, that's what they call an option, to buy that stock at a future date, at a future strike. So when you're selling call options, you are giving someone else the right. When you're doing a cover call, you're owning the underlying and you're giving someone else the right to buy that from you at a future date. And that can mean a lot of things. It could be in the money, it could be at the money, it could be out of the money. And what that means is how close is it to current price? At the money is right around current price. In the money is, if it's a call option, that's the strike price is below the current price, that's in the money. For a call option, if it's out of the money, it means it's higher. The strike price is considerably higher than where it is today. So that's a quick primer on all of this. And for the love of God, stop buying into the yield of these covered call ETFs. Understand what they are. It lowers the overall risk of investing in the underlying company. But it's not a yield. It's simply a strategy. Thanks for the call. Now let's answer a YouTube comment question. Rowdy123456789 says, I'm one of the lucky few who have been buying physical silver for over a decade. With us being up so much in a short time period, I'm worried about significant pullback with mental resistance at 100 from retail. This is just my theory, but do you think I sell a decent amount when I get close to 100 or see it break through and continue to hold? I'm bullish long-term, but just wonder if I'm overthinking it and the tax bill this causes would be worse than the pullback. This position has grown to about 12.5% to 13% of my overall net worth. So first off, I don't think that's an extreme amount. Now, how much gold do you have as well? I would look at total precious metal exposure. Now, that's also 12 to 15%. You know, that starts to, in total, get a little large. But around 20% in precious metals of total net worth, I don't see a problem with that in this environment, frankly. So from that perspective, on its face, is fine. Is there probably going to be a pullback at some point? Yes. You have to be comfortable with that. You also have to figure out your tax bill. But prudently trimming over time is not a bad idea. And 100 is usually a psychological number where you do get a pullback. So yeah, trimming a little bit, not a bad idea, but I wouldn't be going hog wild with it. Then we're going to a break. I'm ready for your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
The weekend is here or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions, so step up and call in. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin. Thank you guys for everything that you do. I'm calling today about ticker ATI. It's kind of a picks and shovels play on the aerospace and defense. I'm curious if you think the valuation is okay. I know it's gone up a lot recently, but do you think it still has room to grow? And do you have a entry point if you think a pullback is needed before I would get in? Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Bye.
We're looking at ATI, and this is a manufacturer's specialty materials and components for the aerospace and defense, medical and energy markets, so special alloys, etc. So it's a business that is booming. Earnings are expected to hit $3.86 this year. From all the way back in 2020, they lost money, lost 52 cents. And in 2022, they only made $2.41. They nearly doubled their earnings since 2022. And that's why the stock continues to boom. Now, it is trading at a pretty high multiple based on forward-looking earnings. Forward enterprise value to EBITDA is right around 19 times. So that's near most expensive it's ever been. So it is pretty pricey here, which elevates the risk. But the momentum is very strong. You can't be mad about that momentum, but you can be, I say mad, but you can be worried about the risk of the valuation here. So it's certainly a name that I would have on my watch list. I like the business overall. I think there's been underinvestment in the harder sciences, especially alloys, for example. And this is right in the heart of that. So I would be patient. I'd probably want to see this back in the below $100 per share, right? Now it's at 124. I think if it's below 100, I'd certainly pick up shares of ATI. Thank you for the call. Now, on Fridays, we generally make time for a quick rundown of some key benchmark numbers. So let's hit that list for you now. The two-year treasury yield, 3.597, call it 3.6%. Last week, it was 3.54%. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but when it comes to the treasury market, that's a pretty decent move overall. So a bit more hawkish expectations out of short-term Fed rates. The 10-year also moved up pretty considerably as well. Actually, not quite as much. Went from 4.17 to about 4.22. So about 5.5 basis points. So the yield curve did flatten slightly, but nothing dramatic. Gold was at $45.88 an ounce, an $81 increase over last week. So precious metals continue to power higher despite a modest pullback today. Silver, $89.18 an ounce, up $9.28 in 1 week. So despite the 4% pullback today, still up over 10% on the week. And if you look back 195 weeks ago, just a few years ago, it was at $23.94. Now we're at $89.18. So gold, silver, just in a secular bull market. That's the only way you can really describe it. Oil, $59.39 a barrel, up 43 cents compared to last week. We still remain in kind of a choppy range right around this $50, $60 range, And I think there's risk to both sides, especially if we go into Iran, what happens with Middle East oil supply. I think there's some short-term upside for oil. Longer term, I still don't love this as a growth play, shall we say. It's more of a coupon clipping, because I think there's a floor around $40 probably for oil, but also probably an upside of, you know, $80-$90. And if you get above that, it probably doesn't sustain that for very long. So don't expect oil to break out anytime soon. A national average for gasoline, $2.83, a 3-cent increase compared to last week. Here in California, $4.20, a 2-cent decrease from the previous week. And over in Ohio, Iowa, the gas is averaging $2.50 a gallon, one of the lowest in the country. Right into a break, and after the break, we will touch on cybersecurity stocks. But most importantly, it will be your call. Whatever is on your mind, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
Quick question. What are some signs of that a recession is coming?
Is there any lesson for people who own stocks, even if they don't short a stock, that the stock they own, they should know whether it's been heavily shorted?
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
If this gets to 170 to 175 in that range, that's where I'd pick it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA. Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
I'm a new investor, and your podcast has helped me out a lot.
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART, or post your questions on the InvestTalk YouTube channel.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment, an Invest529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started. I've got something you need to check out. Now, there's ClickUp. If your day starts with 10, 15, 25, or even 40 open tabs, and ends with decision fatigue, because instead of doing your work, you're managing how to manage it. Spreadsheets here, docs there, Slack convos everywhere. It was chaos. But now, there's ClickUp. It brings together projects, docs, conversations, everything in one workspace. ClickUp doesn't just support your workflow, it upgrades it with automation, AI, and customization. It's already trusted by over 4 million teams worldwide, and it helps them finish projects 30% faster. Try ClickUp for free and get 15% off all AI add-ons just for signing up at clickup.com/invest. That's clickup.com/invest. Close your tabs and open ClickUp.
Have you heard about parallel investing? Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients, as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review.
They have high moats and recurring revenue. So let's analyze why cybersecurity companies are the utilities of the 21st century. And these are names that are synonymous with typically growth investing. And that's because we're in a world now where The most sensitive information is constantly at risk of being stolen. And there's cyber criminals everywhere. And businesses, most importantly, and ours included, right? We always look at, we have a cybersecurity policy. We're always trying to figure out how we can make sure our data is secure. And this is every company. We want to prevent data breaches. Luckily, we've never had one, but you always have to be vigilant. Governments as well struggle to protect critical infrastructure, for example. So this is the ever-present reality of today. So what does that mean for cybersecurity, the cybersecurity industry, and the companies that you can invest in? Now, there's a lot of components to cybersecurity. It's not just one thing. You're talking about network security, cloud security, endpoint security, mobile security, application security, identity and access management. All of this is about protecting data. So companies do this by putting up firewalls, intrusion detection systems, securing wireless access points, etc. And now with so many people moving to mobile and doing a lot of their computing on mobile devices, mobile security is even more important as well. So you're talking smartphones, tablets, and other internet-connected, even laptops, other types of devices. And it's all secured using encryption, antivirus software, as well as secure app development. So all this is what goes into the idea of cybersecurity. It's not one thing, it's a myriad of things. And it's expected that cybersecurity, the cybersecurity industry, will grow from $180 billion in 2023 by 2031 to $412 billion. And you have entities like financial regulators, investment banks, commercial banks, as well as health insurance companies, finance investment companies, all of this trying to secure data in some way, shape, or form. Now, the threats are malware. We all know about that. Phishing attacks. Hopefully, nobody's fallen prey to that. Middleman attacks, where it looks like somebody else is that you trust is in the middle, but it's actually not that entity. And then there's denial of service attacks, so rendering certain applications useless, etc. So what are the drivers and what are the risks here? So obviously, as I said, a lot of growth. Millions of new devices are added every single year. And for the most part, most of those need their own cybersecurity software. Right? For us internally at KP, we have cybersecurity on every single computer. And it's updated, constantly monitored, etc. So that's where the growth comes from. But that doesn't mean you just buy anything and you're going to do well, because there are risks. There are, with more and more devices hitting the internet, it means that there's more uncertainty. There's more potential attackers. There's more potential thieves that are trying to break in, steal data, steal money, etc. And then when you're looking at companies that are out there, there's a lot of market share, and there's a lot of leaders within particular subsegments of cybersecurity. And then there's regulatory and cyber risks. So there's always the risk that leaders fall behind the times. They don't update. They get breached. They aren't vigilant. And someone else comes in with a better technology that makes systems more secure at a better price, etc. Regulators could change their rules, and suddenly the leg up that one company had may not have that again. So you always have to be on the lookout for that. I like companies within this space that are very strong in one particular niche. That's the case in most sectors, but what do they say? Niches make riches. I love that. Now, the good news is they have market share, they have strong IP around a particular area of cybersecurity. It creates a lot of long-term stability for the most part. You have a locked-in user base. However, as I said, technology can change. And so even if there's growth in the industry as a whole, they may fall behind. And so what might look very secure can change overnight. And then with AI is another curveball here. Not only increases the vulnerability of these systems, where a thief could train AI to breach, you know, try to breach particular systems, but also when it comes to competitors coming in and building applications that are smarter, that are able to train AI to build their own AI that will be better than the current systems. So it's certainly a moving target here. And then the last piece is really investor confidence. There's narrative shifts, number one. So does one part of cybersecurity become more exciting than the other based on some narrative? That can always happen. Then there's growth. While growth is good, and there is certainly growth built into this industry, it could be priced in. And so growth may just disappoint a little bit, and you could see multiples come down considerably. And so a lot of questions people have is it worth to pay the multiples for these type of names? And I would say, for the most part, no, especially because of that ever-present risk of being able to build a competitor at scale with a lot less people. So while that can be good for app development, it also is good for competitors trying to steal the shine of the big guys. So while it's a great industry to invest in, you don't just invest in the ones that are going up or the ones that have the best reputation right now. Ideally, you want to invest in up-and-comers, quite as expensive, that are stealing market share, but maybe they're not the largest. And that's the approach we take within the cybersecurity space. Now let's invest talk. Now with more than 62 million downloads, thanks to you. Let's pivot back to the Invest Talk voice bank for a question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Brett from California, close to Newport Beach. My colleague and I, he's a first-time investor. He's hooked on your guys' show. And we were discussing metals. And he believes silver and aluminum is the future. But I really feel copper is more of the future. I feel like it's more of a need for what the world needs, as in building, EVs, data centers, and so forth. So I started a small position a couple months ago in Southern Copper. It's kind of run up a little bit, but I was wondering if I wanted to keep hanging on to this one. But I just wanted to give me your insight on how the metals are and which ones are more important. And what do you think about Southern Copper? Thank you very much.
Well, we certainly agree with you when it comes to industrial metals. Copper is the top of our list. Not only is it the demand side, and that's something if you want to talk to your friend about, is not just the demand, it's the supply. And that is one of the biggest issues with copper, is that there's not a lot of new supply. Even the supply in Arizona, which we'll talk about a little later, that recently came on, it's kind of low-grade copper. It's hard to get out of the ground. And there's not a lot of new mines that are set to hit market in the next 5-10 years, and it takes 5-10 years to get these things moving. So even if they started the project now, it wouldn't hit the market for a number of years into the future. So copper, as you said, is so vital to not just AI data infrastructure, but clean energy and electric grids and building, you know, traditional buildings, et cetera. So we own Southern Copper as CCO. We've owned it for a long time. I mean, it's been one of our best gainers. We bought it at probably $40 and $50 per share. Now it's at $180. So doing very, very well. We're still holding it. You know, you trim here at the margins when it gets overbought, but overall, you know, we're holding our large position in it. And so we would continue to buy it on pullbacks, and because it's to us the best run copper producer in the world. Now, silver and aluminum have their own merits. Not to say they're bad to invest in. I think those are great. Silver is more of a precious metal, even though it does have industrial applications. So I think having silver exposure is good. But think of it more as a precious metal than an industrial metal. Because copper is more often used as an industrial metal than silver. And then aluminum, that's another. There's a lot of applications for electric grid, for AI infrastructure, for aluminum. And there's not as much supply. Now, it's not as tight as copper is likely to be over the next 5 to 10 years from a supply perspective. But certainly the demand is there. So if I'm going to rank those, I would probably put copper number one, silver number two, and aluminum number three. But I have no issue with holding all three in a portfolio. Now let's invest stock. And let's pivot over to a call that came in earlier from an email. Tyson said, hey, Justin and Luke. Tyson here from British Columbia, Canada. Love and appreciate the podcast. What are your thoughts on PNG Kraken Robotics? It's a small company. I like the space, especially with Canada increasing its budget for national defense spending. It has been quite a run lately. I'm just wondering what your thoughts on the company, along with starting a position at these price levels. All right, let's take a look at PNG. Okay, this is probably PNG.co. So for my Canadian brethren out there, yeah, it is on quite the run now, a $2.5 billion market cap, and it is profitable, about 12.5% return on equity. It has negative free cash flow, however, but you know, in the aerospace and defense area, which this looks like that is in underwater robotic systems, subsea batteries, etc., I generally like the space. I would agree with you. Problem is this is extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. Talking to price to sales around 22 and enterprise value to EBITDA around 52, even if you look based on forward-looking earnings, which is expensive. And that's what worries me. And the free cash flow is negative and getting more negative. So to me, this feels more like a narrative play and something to watch for a considerable pullback, you know, and it's already kind of started, it looks like, peaked a few days ago and started to head down. And so if this can get back, you know, sub $5, you know, I think it's worth maybe taking a flyer on back around the 200-day moving average is at about 4.25. If you can get back to that level, I might take a flyer on it more for the geopolitical risk that certainly is there. With many defense names, robotics is certainly a secular trend, which I like, but understand the risks with this level of valuation. I would certainly keep on the watch list. I would not buy it here. I think you missed it for now. Let's squeeze in one more quick question now.
My question is about Broadcom, ticker symbol AVGO. I was just wondering if, should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here? Just tell me what you think. Thank you.
All right. Broadcom, AVGO is the symbol. And this was one of those AI darlings for a little while. And earnings expectations continue to go up. Earnings for this year expected to be $10.21. It's up $6, up from $6.82 last year. So up 50%. And then $14.24 next year, up another 40%. So analyst expectations continue to go up. However, this is one of those names where and this is the broad AI stocks from NVIDIA to Broadcom. What you're seeing is the momentum has slowed considerably. Broadcom has gone nowhere since September when it had the spike. I forgot the news. I think it was an earnings spike when it peaked out right around 355. Been chopped sideways, one as high recently as 415 or so, pulled back, and has just been chopping sideways in a bearish manner. So I think there's a lot of valuation excess in these names. As I've said before, the amount of CapEx spending that's happening right now is just simply unsustainable based on the requisite revenue that's coming in from AI applications. And so I expect growth across this space to slow considerably, especially in the chip side. And so I would be trimming at the very least at Broadcom right now. Now we're heading into our final break. So give me questions. Get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, good day there, Justin and Luke. Longtime listener here from the Midwest. I have a question on a stock that I've been following here for a little while now, but it's had significant returns, and I'm very much so considering getting involved in it with maybe 3% to start with and definitely increasing as it's going up rapidly. And with all the chaos going on in the world, I'm curious to think of what do you feel about ticker symbol KTOS. It might be a newer item, but it is significantly going up, and I believe it has some earnings per share coming in on it. Please look at it, and I'm very curious and anxious to hear what you think about it. Thank you for your feedback. Look forward to hearing it on the show. Have a great day.
Looking at Kratos Defense and Security Solutions, KTOS is the symbol, and think of drones. This is a defense drone company, military drone company, and its stock is booming. There's no other way to describe it, really. At the beginning of last year, it was trading around $20 per share. Now it's at $130. Now, from a valuation standpoint, this is extremely overvalued. So this isn't a value play in any way, shape, or form. This is a momentum play. This is a play on increasing defense spending over time, increasing geopolitical uncertainty, and that's what you are playing here. And you can't argue with that. The trend is your friend, whether that's on the chart or just how the world is unfolding, especially this rapidly in 2026. So that's the play. Understand, though, that just as bad things can happen in geopolitics, so can good, right? If tensions kind of ramp down in the Middle East and in Venezuela, and you know, Trump refocuses on the economy or something and less on adventurism around the world, well, then this could easily reverse. If Congress says, I don't want to spend $1.5 trillion next year on defense, we're going to keep it around the current $1 trillion. Well, that could also hurt this name as well. So you get a lot of headline risk here, and you have to be very comfortable with that. It's at 130 right now. It's overbought. You know, if you get a bad headline, this could easily drop well below $100 per share in a very short order. Then you have to decide, what is the broader trend? Now, I believe we're in the fourth turning. Major things are happening domestically and abroad, and it's all not going to turn out very well. That's the fourth turning, right? It's usually very bad things come about. And then you get some sort of a leader to refresh things and bring about what in the cycle terms we call it the spring. All right? That's what happens after winter. We're in winter. We're in the dark times. We're in the challenging times domestically and through the world. And so that is this play. And it's a good encapsulation of that. So understand what you're buying. Now, with that said, before we end, I want to talk about, in conjunction, a report from the chief investment officer at PIMCO, the largest bond investment company in the world. And they're saying they're diversifying out of U.S. assets, mainly because of the U.S. president's rapidly changing policies. Dan Iveson, he is, once again, the CIO. He says, we're diversifying, and we do think we are in a multi-year period of some diversification away from U.S. assets. So this kind of hits on what I've been saying of last year, foreign stocks outperformed. They're outperforming already this year. They're likely to continue to outperform as more and more investors don't see the United States as the safest place in the world anymore. And, you know, it becomes a riskier place to hold their assets. That's the bottom line. You go from very, very safe to still pretty safe, but you know, not as clear cut as it was before. And so that's why both domestic investment companies and foreign investors are diversifying as well. Also talked about Fed independence, which Jamie Dimon also talked about recently, but he said that Fed independence on setting monetary policy remains critically important to markets. So He worries that aggressive Fed cutting in the face of strong growth and elevated inflation will likely lead to higher long-term rates here domestically, which would impact mortgage rates, the cost of capital for corporations, and overall hurt asset prices. And so that's why he is diversifying, and PIMCO in general is diversifying. So there we go. That about does it. Appreciate you all tuning in this hour. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, and your investments, your taxes, retirements, and how it's all working in this fourth turning, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, and schedule a time with myself or Luke. And please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, or head over to our YouTube channel and check out those videos over there. Please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. We'd love that. Appreciate it. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Enjoy your holiday extended weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.